So in the Bible, there are three covenants you will encounter. Number one, the Abrahamic covenant. Number two, the old covenant. And number three is the new covenant. One misunderstanding that many people have is that the old covenant is the Abrahamic covenant. Pay attention. The Abrahamic covenant is not the old covenant. The Abrahamic covenant is the covenant God had with Abraham and his seed. And the new covenant is actually an offshoot of the Abrahamic covenant. Did you get me to this point? Let me say it again. The Abrahamic covenant is not the old covenant. The Abrahamic covenant is the covenant God had with Abraham and his seed. Remember when God told him, I will bless you, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, right? And the covenant will happen after he was about to sacrifice Isaac, and God said, no, don't worry. Look at the lamb there, sacrifice him in place of Isaac. And God said, today I swear. And the Bible says, and God swore that with unto Abraham, and said, I will bless you, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And the new covenant is actually an offshoot of that. So what is the old covenant? The old covenant is the covenant that God made with Israel when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Are we together? Look at Exodus 15 verse 26. And he said unto them, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandment and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Glory! No. So much to learn from the Bible. This particular verse is one of the verses to use to declare healing over yourself. When you study the Bible, there are different revelations that people had of God. So, when God provided for Abraham, Abraham said, you are Jehovah Jireh. When they went to battle and God helped them win, they will declare you are Jehovah Sabaoth. When God declares Abraham righteous, you are Jehovah Isikendu, the Lord our righteousness. So men were giving God names based on their revelation of him to them. Are you with me? But when it came to healing, God was the one that declared first, I am the God that healeth thee. I am Jehovah Rapha. It was not the people that had the revelation first. It was God that introduced himself. I am the Lord that healeth thee. That means God calls himself a healer. Are you with me? Yes, sir. Say after me, God calls himself a healer. And therefore, sickness cannot stay in my body. God declares himself a healer. Therefore, sickness cannot stay in my body. Yes. So let's move on. Leviticus 3. Leviticus 26 from verse 3. He says, if ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. Verse 15, he says, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgment, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant. Read on. I will also do this unto thee. I will even appoint over you terror. And that's why I don't want to read it. It's not for you. Amen. In Jesus' name. So now, they were in a contract with God, as it were. A covenant as with God, as it were. Such that, okay, if you do your part, I will do my part. And the problem with that covenant was not God. Neither was the problem with that covenant the law, but with the people. So, it's easy to say, God, do your part, I will do my part. And what is your part? Keep all the laws. The problem was that the people could not keep all the laws. Are you with me? I don't have enough time. I would have loved to go through the story to show you how the Israelites got to the point where God had to enter this covenant with them. God was trying to forge a relationship with them in the wilderness. But every single time God wanted them to believe in him, they would start murmuring and complaining. at every little inconvenience, they will start complaining and say, take us back to Egypt. They will tell Moses, we want food. Moses said, I'm coming. They say, if you don't give us food, we'll stone you now. How can you be so daft? Satan, eh? Satan will make people lose their wisdom. The man that brought you out of Egypt, if you stone him, what will happen? He said, oh, Tilo. He said, if you don't give us manna, we'll stone you. So the manna came. When it was time for water, if you don't give us water, we'll deal with you. God said, okay, enough is enough. Let's enter a contract. If you obey me, I will bless you. If you don't obey me, I will curse you. If you do the commandments, you want to do commandments. They say, yes. Tell Moses to give us all your commandments. We'll keep it. That's what they said. They were telling God, give us all your commandments and we'll keep it. God said, hey, you will keep it. No problem. Moses, after the first 10 commandments, there were also another 628 commandments to keep. And God said, take and also give them. So, the book of Leviticus, you will see all those plenty, plenty things. A woman shall not wear what pertains unto a man. Just Leviticus, Deuteronomy, you see. They will have to come one day, and from morning till night, they are reading the 628 commandments. And the problem is, if you break one, you have broken all. So, by themselves, they came under what is called the curse of the law. The curse of the law is that the person that committed fornication, on the day of atonement, we bring goats. The person that also stole Biro, we bring goats too. All of you. Because you cannot keep it. Are you with me? So, God saw that there is a problem. These people cannot keep the laws of God. And actually, that's God's standard. The law that Moses gave revealed God's standard. God is such a holy and high God. Such a pure God. He cannot behold iniquity. In fact, the Bible says he's thrice holy. Isaiah chapter 6 tells us that the angels are not permitted to look at God. Why do you think that when Jesus was born, angels began to sing and make noise on high? That was the first time they had the privilege to look at deity. Nobody could look at the face of God. You will see Isaiah chapter 6, that each angel had six wings. The cherubims and seraphims actually had six wings. Two of the wings were used to cover your legs. Two of the wings were used to cover your face. And with two, you used to fly. So your face does not behold God. That's how high and holy God is. So God said, you want to keep my standard? Oh yeah, take. And in trying to keep it, they saw they could not keep it. So Romans chapter 8 tells us something. Romans chapter 8, from verse 3, it says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Are you seeing this? Everybody read with me. 1, 2, 3, go. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. So the problem was that the law could not make the people righteous before God because of their sinful flesh. There was sin in their flesh. Are you with me? Because of the nature of Adam and the sinful nature from the first man that has passed on through all men, men could not keep the will of God. Are you with me? You are not confused in Jesus' name. If you are following, say, I'm following. So God saw that man will really struggle. So God had to devise a new covenant. Jeremiah chapter 31 from verse 31. Jeremiah 31 from verse 31 to 34. Jeremiah 31 from verse 31 to 34. It says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Verse 32. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. I thought you would rejoice here. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. I will forgive their iniquity, and I'll remember their sin no more. Glory. Yeah. So, question: how will God write this new covenant in our hearts? Is he going to tear us open? Or do his surgery and tear your heart open and put his law inside? How will he do it? This is where the real core of the new covenant comes to play. Tell your neighbor, don't be bored. Don't be tired. How will it be possible for God to make this to happen? Matthew 26, from verse 26 to 28. Matthew 26, from verse 26 to 28. The Bible says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Verse 27. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, drink ye all of it. Now everybody, verse 28. For this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Read it again. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And that word for New Testament is New Covenant. So what is happening here? It is a blood covenant. So let me explain. The New Covenant is a blood covenant. You can write this down. The New Covenant is a blood covenant. And what is a blood covenant? If you have watched those Nigerian movies in those days, when a guy and a girl are so in love and they don't want to ever separate, they now cut their hand and say, you know what? You taste my blood. You taste my own blood. And say, today, we now solemnly declare that we are together. What is a blood covenant? The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. If your neighbor is sleeping, tell him, don't sleep now. If he's sleeping, tell him, wake up! Tell your neighbor, wake up! Oh! Don't sleep now. So, the blood covenant is saying we have become one. Pay attention. So, let's assume this is a girl. And a wife will beat me in the house. So, when a guy and a girl do that thing, and please don't do it. In Jesus' name. Where this person tastes his blood and she tastes his blood, or he has tasted her blood and all of that. When they do that, you are saying, from now henceforth, I have become you. Because the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. So when you partake of his blood, you are saying, I have become you, and you have become me. Are you following this? This is a very serious thing. Have you ever asked yourself, why did Jesus do that breaking of bread before going to the cross? You will soon find out. When I partake of your blood and you partake of my blood, we have become one. In fact, just me partaking of your blood, I become one with you. That's already, I become one with you. That's the blood covenant. Please, you can sit down. So Jesus said, this is my blood. And his apostles drank it. I'm not sure at that point they understood what was going on. This is my blood, and they drank it. And he said, it is going to be shed for many. That means, I have become you, and you represent the many. Listen, from that time henceforth, after that blood covenant was done between Christ and his apostles, the apostles had become him, and the apostles represented all mankind. So, he had to become one with sinful men so that he can take their place. Remember on Friday when we said he took your place. At what point did he become connected to you that he can die for you? Are you following me? But it was by the blood covenant that was made that night. He said, this is my blood of the New Testament, of the New Covenant. Drink ye all of it for the remission of sins for many. So from that time henceforth, this was God's, I can tell you something, the blood covenant was God's joker card. It was God's technique. It was God's strategy to ensure that you can die for sins without you dying. From that time henceforth, when they were flogging Christ, in the spirit they were flogging you. Are you with me? You are one with him now. So, in the spirit, God is saying, you have paid for sins without you having to die. Are you following this? So, from that time henceforth, when Christ was carrying the cross, in the spirit, you were the one carrying it. Ah, my God. When they were flogging him, in the spirit, it was as though they were flogging you, but you were at home sitting down. He did that so that from that time henceforth, everything he did will be credited to your account as though you did it. Hey, if you understand this, you would have started rejoicing already. So from the time he took that blood covenant, you and him became one. He became one with sinful man. So that in the spirit, anything that he did, it was as though you did. And so when he died on the cross, in God's account, it was as though you died. So that means you no longer have to die. Because in the spirit, you have done it. And you have done it in Christ. Are you with me? From that time henceforth, when he descended into hell, it was as though he went to hell. That means anyone in him no longer has to go to hell. Are you following this? When he rose up from hell, when he defeated the devil, it was as though you defeated the devil. Are you with me? So when he was giving the devil a knock in the spirit, you were the one that gave him a knock. Ah, my God. And when he rose up and ascended on high and sat on the throne in heaven, it was as though, are you with me? So now in the spirit, even though you are not in heaven physically, in the spirit, the Bible says you are seated with him in heavenly places. So this is God's strategy. I become one with them. So I become one with them to take their sin. And because I'm still one with them, when I become righteousness, they still remain righteousness. When God is honoring me and lifting Christ up, he's actually lifting you up. So now, have you seen Romans chapter 8 before? And you wondered what was going on in Romans chapter 8. Go to Romans chapter 8 from verse 1 to 4. Say after me, I'm blessed. If you understand this thing properly, it means that your own life has lost in Christ. It means that in the spirit realm, if they want to look for you, they have to find Jesus. That is why when Paul was persecuting the saints, what did Jesus say to him when he appeared to him on the road to Damascus? He said, Saul, Saul, why persecuted thou me? Do you remember? In Acts chapter 9, Jesus did not say, why are you persecuting my followers? Why are you persecuting my children? That's not what he said. Even though we are his followers, even though we are his children, that's not what he said. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Because let me tell you, every child of God is one with him. Once you get born again, that covenant that was done more than 2,000 years ago is enacted. Are you with me? Say after me, I am one with the Lord. Because I believe in Jesus. By the blood covenant, I am one with him. Romans chapter 8. From verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Verse 2, for what the law could not do, I'm hurrying, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3, for what the law could not do, everybody read this one with me. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. he was the one who was condemned. How come he was the one condemned and the righteousness is not fulfilled in us, but because we are one? He was the one that was flogged, but we are the one getting the blessings because we are one. So whenever he was given the blessing, we also got the blessing. Are you getting this? What makes the doctrine of substitution possible is that he took our place. Or is that he had become one with us. So him being one with us made it legibly right or legally right for him to take our place. Do you get that? This is very important. Go back to verse 3. You are not tired in Jesus' name. Amen. For what the Lord could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. That means Jesus did not come in sinful flesh. Remember, he was born of a virgin, right? He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. So, if he came in the likeness of sinful flesh, at what point will he become sin? So that he can take our place. You see that phrase, the next one. And for sin, it was by the blood covenant he became one with sin that he could now die for sin. Are you seeing this? And for sin. So, at some point, he was in the likeness of sinful flesh. But if he's really going to take our place, he must become one with us so that he can die for sin. Are you with me? So, at one stage, it was the likeness of sinful flesh. At another stage, he was able to take our place for sin. And then he condemned sin in the flesh. That glory. That the righteousness of the Lord might be fulfilled in us. So after me, the righteousness is now fulfilled in us. So this is how his victory has become our victory. His suffering had become our suffering. Are you with me? Or actually, our suffering that we deserve became his suffering. Our punishment that we deserve became his punishment. Are you with me? We are the ones to be crucified, but by the blood covenant, he's saying, you know what? We are now one, so I can take your place and it'll be all right. Are you with me? So we are now together. The suffering you deserve, I will take it and it'll be okay. Are you with me? The punishment you deserve, I will take it and it'll be okay. All the judgments you deserve, I will take it and it'll be okay. That means everything he now received when he resurrected is also ours. You will soon see the implication of what I was talking about. You will soon see the implication. In Acts chapter 19, some sons of Sceva went to cast out a demon. They were not born again. And they said, we charge you, demon, by the name which Paul preached. And the demons responded and said, Jesus we know, Paul we know, who are you? Ask your neighbor, who are you? Don't worry, don't fall for that trap. I know what you want to say. Don't fall for it. Don't tempt me. I don't want to talk about it. I should talk about it. The issue is that I was touched by that social media trend. Any Bible student should have been excited by that trend. They asked you, who are you? And somebody responded, I am a chosen. That is Bible language. Hi, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And ordained you. That when you pray, your prayers will be answered. It's in the Bible. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you will go forth and bring forth fruits. Now is the prince of this world judged. That's what Jesus said. Because I've chosen you. When I saw it, I said, I'm a chosen. And I'm not talking about the denomination. See, let me tell you something. Some of you need to learn from them. People are bold enough to wear a banner and be walking on the road. They are so bold to wear a banner. My God. And you, just to preach in the car. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you.
Hey, amen. God will bless you.
And somebody is walking with low ambitions. Until you become bold about your faith, you will not see results. How do you want to combat people who have sworn? You want to combat many of these suicide bombers that they told them that if you kill yourself for your faith, you have some virgins waiting for you in paradise. There are somebody who is swallow a bomb and is coming to hug you. So the demons ask them, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are you? When you now remember that you are one with Christ, you are who he says you are. Everything he has become, you have also become. By the blood covenant, which is the new covenant, everything he has become, that is who you are. So if you want to know who you are, look at Christ. He is the picture of who you are. Years ago, I was listening to one of my great mentors, Pastor Ben Him. He said he used to be very sick. Very, 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 very sick. And then he was crying out to God to heal him. Crying out to God to heal him. Then one day he had a vision. In the vision, he saw Jesus standing here. And he saw himself this other way, looking so twisted and bent on the floor. He said he looked like a worm. And he knew that was him. And he saw Jesus standing here looking so bright. And Jesus told him, come to me. And he was like, Jesus, I cannot come. Look at me. I don't have the power to walk. I cannot move any part of my body. Jesus said, come to me. Are you following this? So he said, okay, I will try. So he said he discovered that when he moved his leg, Jesus' own leg also moved. Listen, don't let the devil make you sleep now. When he moved his leg, he tried to raise his hand. As he raised his hand, Jesus' hand was also raised. He was like, what's happening? Are you trying to follow me? He said, no, we are one. Anything that affects you affects me. And if you can choose to see that you are one with me, everything I have will also be yours. So he moved his hand. Jesus' hand also moved. He moved his leg. As he was moving like that, Jesus was also moving. And he noticed at every step he took, he became stronger. At every step he took, he became stronger. At every step he took, he became stronger. At a point, he was standing straight in this revelation. And at some point, because Jesus was also moving, two of them were close together. And then he kept on moving and he was lost. He disappeared and entered into Jesus. And Jesus told him, as long as believers cannot see they are one with me, they will never have my victory. That's why I'm teaching you this. When you understand, let me tell you, what I just showed you is the legal framework for your victory in Christ. Say after me, I'm one with him. Say it again, I am one with him. So now, when the devil asks you, who are you? Let me share with you some of the things that you are. Praise the Lord. Number one, you are a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. What I'm showing you is important. Remember Luke chapter 10 verse 19. Jesus said, behold, I have given you power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That means in Christ you have the authority to trample on the devil without consequence. Behold, I give unto you power. But listen, he begins with behold, behold. That means you must see. There is something you must see about your authority for you to have it. Are you with me? When you begin to see that by the new covenant you are one with him, then you know your authority has started. Behold. Number one, you are a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Once again, behold too. Please, am I too fast? Media, I'm not seeing the scriptures. So number one, you are a new creature. Number two, you were born of God. Now, when you say I am born of God, it makes sense because you are one with Him, so you are from Him. I am born of God. I am born of God. I am born of God. John chapter 1 from verse 11. John chapter 1 from verse 11. Your mind is open in the name of Jesus. I come against distractions. Pray in the Spirit. I come against distractions. We come against distractions. Pray in the Spirit. Satanic hindrance is trying to pull away your mind. Out in the name of Jesus. Pray in the Spirit, please. Kaparaba sapalatelia. Legaraba shaka balagabaratesia. Enrianda balateke teke sutekelia. Enderepeleke setetelia. Mashala brandaga balagadade. Meshele bregadadadadadadadadesa. Kelo rabasikata. Rimbalabashala branta kapai. Rabalabashaka palagabarakate. Leketepeleketelia. Reteketepelegesheketelia. Entokopeledegebeletetelia. In the name of Jesus. John 1 verse 11, it says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Everybody read this verse with me and open your spirit to rejoice. Everybody read with me, 1, 2, 3, go. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name. Ah, my God. That means when you believe in Him, it's not just a mental assent. He's telling that in the spirit, when you believe in Him, you become one with Him. As many as believe on His name, He gave them the right, the authority to become sons of God. Are you with me? Everybody see verse 13. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But of God. But of God. But of God. He's telling that when you get born again, you are not born of natural blood. You have been disconnected from your natural family lineage. Believe it, this is the Bible. Whatever was consistent with that family, all those evil generational causes and all those demonic affiliations, he's telling you that when you... Ah, my God. The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. The natural blood of man is what connects you and your parents. Are you with me? Ah, they will say, this one is your own blood. But let me tell you, when you get born again, you have been connected to your higher blood. Which were born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh. That means your life can no longer be determined by the will of those in the flesh. Not of the will of man. Maybe your parents said, we did not want to have you, but God wanted to have you. Oh my God. Not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Say to me, I'm born of God. This is who you are. And it is possible because of the new covenant. Are you with me? So when you want to cast out the devil and the devil says, who are you? You say, I am born of God. Out in the name of Jesus. So ask your neighbor, who are you? Tell them, I am born of God. Who are you? Okay, now respond to me. Who are you? 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 You are getting it now. Takabalatalia. So let's do new creature. Who are you? I'm a new creature. Who are you? I'm a new creature. Who are you? Put that one on the screen. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new breed. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold! Behold! Behold!
Pastor, my life, there's a way my life is. When I'm trying to get something, it has been like that though, from when I was small. When I'm trying to get something, I'm almost there. Somehow it just go.
Behold, all things have become new. That means that pattern is not permitted to stay. All things have become new. Are you hearing me? He was born like this. He was born with this sickness. Are you now in Christ? All things have become new. New life is flowing through you right now. In the name of Jesus. Satan, I believe God. I don't believe my experiences. I believe the word of God. The word of God is here and amen. I believe in Jesus. I am one with him. I believe in his word. I am new in Christ. Glory. Please take your seat. Who are you? You are also seated with Christ in the heavens. Far above principalities and powers. Ephesians 1 from verse 21. He says, let's read from verse 19. He says, he wants you to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Every time I read that place when he says, and put all things under his feet, it just makes me want to cringe. Do you realize that? He says that the devil and all his principalities are under the feet of Christ. So that means even the smallest believer, even if you are the feet of Christ, even if you are the newest and the weakest and the most unserious believer, as long as you are a believer, you are in Christ. Even if you are defeated, you say you are still over the devil. Yes, sir. Meaning the smallest believer is stronger than the biggest devil. Yes, then it says in chapter 2 from verse 6. Or let's read from verse 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we are dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. Verse 6, and had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Say after me, I'm seated together with Christ. So that's who you are. Also, who are you? You are complete in him. Colossians chapter 2 from verse 9 to 10. Everybody read Colossians 2. From verse 9 to 10. 1, 2, 3, go. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him. Okay. So who are you? Say after me, I'm complete in him. Colossians 3. Verse 3. Who are you? You are hid in Christ. Colossians 3 verse 3. He says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ. Now, what does it mean when he says ye are dead? Your old nature or your old man of sin is dead. Are you with me? Yeah. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Tell me, I'm hid in Christ. Who are you? Who are you? Good. Now look at that. For your life is hid with Christ in God. So God put you into Christ and put Christ into God. So for them to get you, they will have to get to God. And then when they are done with God, they will get into Christ. Say after me, I'm too far from attacks. I'm too far for attacks. Okay. Finally, who are you? You are the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. He says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Everybody read it. 1, 2, 3, go. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Glory. Do you know what this means? First of all, it means that from now henceforth, the devil has no right to condemn you. Are you with me? Because you are one with him. When he wants to come after you, he will see the righteousness of Christ. When he wants to condemn you, he will see God's righteousness. Because you are in him right now. Are you with me? So the Bible now says in Romans chapter 8 from verse 31. It says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Then it says in verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. So the devil cannot even bring anything against you. Because you are now his righteousness. Are you with me? You can add this one. Who are you? You are like the wind. John chapter 3 from verse 6 to 7. John chapter 3 from verse 6 to 7. John chapter 3 from verse 6 to 7. It says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto you that you must be born again. Verse 8. What does this mean? It means to be born again is to be born of the Spirit. And if you are born of the Spirit, you have the same nature with the wind. Read it again. So, I know you have a question. I'm rounding up now, but I know you have a question. And the question is this. Pastor, with all these things that we are, why is it that some believers are still suffering all these things that they are suffering? Pastor, I agree. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am like the wind. I am the chosen. I'm a new creature in Christ. Why are believers suffering all these things? And I will tell you why. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10 from verse 6. Sorry, from verse 4. 2 Corinthians 10 from verse 4. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds. Now, what are the strongholds? Verse 5. Read it again. That means as long as the devil will get you to believe that you are not what the Bible says you are, he will still oppress you. The real warfare, before warfare on ground, is warfare in the spirit, in your heart.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against this knowledge I just shared with you. So now, I can tell you, you are a new creature in Christ. Then you have a dream. You still see yourself in primary school uniform. Then you wake up and say, I thought the pastor said I'm a new creature. All things are passed away. Why am I still having that dream? What you need to do now is to say, instead of me to agree with the devil, I will agree with the word of God. Are you following this? And that's where warfare comes. The devil will say, but pastor laid hands on you. They said you are this. 2024 has come to an end. Has anything changed? You have to now tell yourself, I will agree with what God has said in spite. Hey, God. In spite of what the devil is saying and looking around me. You know what fear means? False evidence appearing real. False evidence. So it's looking like it's real. There is a temptation to accept what you are seeing, what you are experiencing as real. But you must tell yourself, let God alone be true. Let every man, let every experience be a liar. Are you hearing me? I thought they said all things have become new. I thought they said I am hidden with Christ in God. Look at this thing that came to press me. You stand up again and say, I am hidden God. When you keep doing that, after a while, it will be obvious you have won the victory. The devil will leave you alone. Are you getting me? In fact, this is why you need to pray. Because if you don't pray, what I just shared with you, will stay in your head. It will not enter your spirit. And it needs to enter your spirit for you to have the victory. You need to pray. Some of you are wondering, why is it that is this teaching that sleep is catching me? You don't know what the devil is doing. Let me show. It's not a joke, oh. I've casted out demons and the demons confessed that we went to make sure people slept. I'm telling you. Let me show you something. Ephesians 1 from verse 17. I know you may have been stressed. Long service. Don't worry. It's for your good. Ephesians 1 verse 17. Verse 16 into verse 17. This is Paul praying for the Ephesian church. He says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What was he praying for the church? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge of him. Verse 8. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of inheritance in the saints. So he wants you to know what you have. And guess what? It was a prayer he was praying for fervently. He was praying about it fervently. That this thing that I have in Christ, this thing I have, let my eyes be open. Let their eyes be open. Can we pray that prayer right now?